Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 26. And just read a section here. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, whom he's sending out to spread the gospel in the surrounding towns and cities. And he's warning them that they're going to, not only short term, but in the long term, they're going to experience persecution. It's going to be difficult. And then he says this in verse 26, Matthew 10, 26 and following. "So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If we look back in the Old Testament, whether it's in Psalm 50, which is a wonderful passage, or one that I'm going to read a few verses from right now in Psalm 104. In Psalm 104, we have a description of how the creatures in the wild depend on God to provide for them. Verse 27, even the plants in Psalm 104 depend on the Lord, because that's true. But listen, verse 27 and following of Psalm 104, "These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they're satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust." What's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that nothing on earth can survive apart from God's provision. When God flooded the earth in the days of Noah, there was mass destruction of animals, plants, insects. I mean, things were wiped out. How can God do that? Because he's the creator. The only thing that gives life value is God. God created the universe out of nothing. God brought forth life on this planet. And God is the one who sustains life. Now, if we know that, it should change our perspective on how we live. Not that we become irresponsible. The Bible has plenty to say about the wise seeing danger and adjusting their course, whereas the foolish just proceed and are destroyed. It's not suggesting that we should be reckless. It is telling us not to be afraid. Jesus is sending his disciples on a path that will involve danger and suffering and even death for some. But he says, but don't be afraid. Because God is in control and not even one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Father. And then he says something that we need to hear in this day of evolutionary mythology. He says, you are worth more than many sparrows. Let that sink in for a minute. You are worth more than many sparrows. God has set the price, the value on you. There was a story, goodness, now it's been 50 years probably. Probably 50 years ago, someone broke into a department store and instead of stealing a bunch of things, they simply went around during the night changing the price tags. And so the next day when people came to work, some very expensive items were selling for a couple of dollars and some very inexpensive things were suddenly priced at what those other things had been priced at. And it took them a long time to go through all their inventory and find, because the person obviously didn't have time to change the price tags on everything, but they changed them on enough stuff that the staff was kind of frantically going around checking price tags to see if they were right, because if the price tag is wrong, the store is supposed to sell it to you for whatever it says. Now, by the way, if you do that, you probably won't get away with it. And if you do get away with it with the store, you definitely won't get away with it with God. It's not okay to mess people up like that. But I want you to understand that the world is continually doing that every day, trying to tell us that things that really don't matter are worth a fortune. This is what you need to pursue. This is what you need to devote your life to. This is what you need to be about, because those are the things that matter. They're not. A friend of mine has just written a wonderful book about chasing the American dream. He spent his career in real estate. And for a lot of people, the real dream, the real goal is to have that house. That's, you know, that's their identity. It gives them their self-importance. They can point to their house and say, yes, that's my place. It doesn't matter. My friend who could have just lived off his inheritance, didn't have to have a job to support himself if he'd wanted to be irresponsible like some people and just live off what he inherited, he could have done that. But despite his personal wealth, he has worked super hard in order to try and help other people find the right house. And one of the things that I love about the way he's done real estate is when a professional sports team that shall remain nameless asked him to be the guy who finds the houses for people they bring to town, new players that they sign to the team. He'd go out with those athletes and they'd be wanting to look at these mega mansions and he would say, don't do that. Let me show you a place that'll be very nice, very comfortable, easier commute to where you have to practice and play. And when you get transferred to another team, it'll be easier to sell. And more than one of his clients, not just with the sports team, but with other groups, have said to him, don't you make money based on a percentage of the price? And he says, yes. And they say, well, why would you try and talk me into buying something less expensive? You don't get as much money. And he said, because my job is to try and help you. And if I get you to buy a more expensive place, yes, I get a bigger check, but you are not as well served. Now, the world says what you want is to make yourself really big. Jesus says Whoever tries to put himself in that position is going to be humbled by God. If you want true greatness, be the servant of all. Care for others. Jesus says this, you are worth more than many sparrows. Are all living things valued the same? No. Animals, of which you are not one, animals are not worth as much as a human life. If I've got to choose between saving my beloved pet or saving one of my grandkids, I'm not going to struggle trying to make up my mind. What do I do here? Oh boy, you know, this child is only, you know, a few years old, but this pet I've had for several years. Are you kidding? That would be insanity and it would be evil. Somebody who's not my grandchild, somebody who's just a human, is worth more than my beloved pet. Is that clear? People matter more than things, and people matter more than animals, and you are worth more than many sparrows. God, the creator of you and the sparrows, says so. Well, so does that mean that we can be cruel to animals? Absolutely not. If you read the Old Testament law, God worked at making his people aware that cruelty, whether to humans or to animals, is evil. The righteous man, the Bible says, cares for his beast. If you see somebody else's animal that's stuck down in a pit or something, you're to rescue it. Animals are to be treated with kindness, even though it is okay to eat meat. God didn't say that you can't hunt and kill animals, but you need to be kind in the way you do it. Do you know, by the way, that if deer are not harvested through hunting, they will die off through starvation and disease? Did you know that? There are areas in this country where people want to be humane and not allow the deer to be killed. Well, then the deer overpopulate and they die a miserable death. So should we all go out and kill a deer this afternoon? No. We have, just as we harvest plants at a certain time, we have harvesting time for animals. But when you go to kill the animal, if you go hunting to kill an animal, you need to do it in a humane way so that the thing dies as quickly as possible. Not a lot of suffering. You understand? Pastor Wynn, I really didn't want to hear about this morning. I saw the movie Bambi last weekend. I just think it's terrible that anybody would kill a deer. Well, let me just tell you something about the movie Bambi. It's make-believe. It's a cartoon. And believe it or not, even though the Disney Corporation did a fabulous job making that a very artistic thing, the animals don't really talk. And as cute as Thumper was, that's not really what rabbits are like. Just so you know. Just so you know. I want you to understand that you have great value to God, more so than any of the animals. You have great value to God. But that does not mean that no matter what you do, it's okay because you're so valuable. You are of great value to God, so much so that Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the penalty that we deserve because of all the horrible, evil things that we've done. I'm only 9 years old. How can you say that I've done horrible, evil things? Because you're a human. But I'm only 9 years old. I haven't had time to do a lot of horrible, evil things. Oh, well, let me clarify what I mean by horrible, evil things. Selfishness. Do you have to be 9 or 10 before you can become selfish? Not at all. Dishonesty. Is dishonesty something that we discover when we get to be teenagers? Not at all. Rebellion. Wanting my own way. Nobody's going to tell me I want to do what I want to do. No, I will not do that. Do you know the point at which children begin to exhibit that kind of behavior, typically, in a very strong way? 2 years of age. 2 years of age. It's called the terrible twos. Because children are trying to develop their sense of autonomy. They think in their wicked, evil hearts that the way to do that is by saying no. Have you ever heard a preschooler say, "You can't make me"? Where does that come from? Wicked, evil human heart. All of us started life with one. Okay? Male and female, even my grandkids. That's how we all start. It's an inherited trait. It's sin. God, who is rich in mercy, instead of destroying us, chose to save us, and Jesus paid the penalty for our sin, so that all who trust in him are forgiven and have eternal life. But I want you to understand, a lot of people, on the one hand, we compartmentalize. We believe this over here, and we believe this over here. And even though those things contradict each other, we just kind of hold on to both of them. This over here says God loves me, and God has put great value on my life. This over here says it's up to me to protect myself and make sure nothing bad happens to me. Uh-uh. Jesus is sending his people out on a mission that will involve danger, persecution, and for some of them, death. And he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Well, how can I not be afraid? You said these things could happen. Well, that's because I'm being honest. Well, why would you tell me that? Because you need to know. Well, why do I need to know? So that when those things happen, you won't be surprised and saying, what's happening? Nobody told me about this. Jesus says, I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. There's going to be suffering. But don't be afraid. Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from your Heavenly Father's notice. Not one. This morning, a beautiful little bluebird flew into the glass windows in the grandchildren's playroom. I don't mean flew into the room, I mean flew into the glass. Well, you see, this bluebird came sailing into what it thought was the entryway to a blue room. We've got all that lovely blue paint, and I'm sure that little bluebird thought that he would fit right in, but instead he went... Didn't kill him, but he was out there on the deck looking at the windows like, okay, this is a new thing. How does that work? I can see through it, but I can't go through it. God doesn't want you to fly into a glass window. God doesn't want you to be unprepared for suffering in this life. Because if you live on this planet, you're going to suffer. If you do what God tells you to do, there'll be a price to pay. There's going to be hardship. God guarantees it. Well, then I think maybe I won't do what God says to do. Oh, if you do that, there will be hardship. God guarantees it. And in the end, torment. So I'm going to suffer either way. Yes, you can suffer now and reap eternal reward, or you can suffer now and reap eternal destruction. Which sounds like a better plan to you? Jesus tells us that we should expect suffering for doing what is right. Don't be surprised by it. But don't be afraid of it, because God will carry you through it. Every now and then I appeal to the Lord. I'm getting older, and I've got a wife that I want to provide for, and I've got a bunch of children whom I love, and a bunch of grandchildren whom I love, and I'm especially concerned about my oldest son, who has physical handicaps and now memory loss. And as a result, I want to be sure that he's going to be taken care of when I'm gone. So I talk with God from time to time about how can I make sure that things are going to be okay. And what God keeps reminding me of is God loves my son. God loves my son. God loves my son better than I love my son. And so I don't have to talk God into being kind to my son. God's already committed to doing that. God, in fact, loves my son so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross to save him. And so I don't have to worry about whether or not God will make sure my son is taken care of when I'm gone. Does that make sense? And so what that means is not, well, then I can go ahead and spend all that money that I saved for my son. No. What it means is I don't have to worry. In fact, God commands me not to worry. God says, I'll handle that. I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. What a blessing. I don't have to wonder about if my wife's going to be okay when I'm gone, because God loves my wife. And my wife loves God. And my son loves God. So why should I worry? We are all worth more than many sparrows. You and I have a price that's been placed on us. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to save us. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? All things are yours, Christian. You belong to the Lord because of Jesus. And now you can live life fearlessly. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows, and the Lord even looks after them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for these dear folks and for the fact that your love for us is greater and more intense than we can even comprehend. You loved us when we didn't love you. You loved us when we were in rebellion against you. You loved us because you are love. And we thank you that you are even now giving more time for people to repent so that they might be saved and not destroyed. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. Help us to trust you and to do what you say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.